It's me, William the Opinion Uptake.
And I'm positive Chuck Mockler. Are we going to do Mario voice?
I don't know. I was thinking about it.
It's a slow day. I think everyone would have been fine with that.
We are Locked On Clippers, in case you didn't know. Part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Woo.
Our fearless leader, David Locke, was actually on Howard Beck's podcast, The Full 48.
Oh, yeah. Check that out.
So, yeah, check that out if you haven't yet. Big ups to the boss man, a true consummate professional.
Shout out Lock Dog.
Yeah. I call him the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay, that's fair.
Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. There's not a whole lot of news going on.
No drama today.
I believe some other basketball event is going on, but I don't know anything about it.
All I know is that they're for sure getting paid and that the system that is in place totally works.
Yeah, definitely. Everything is fair and just, and there's no problems.
Yep.
We're going to get into a little bit of like the Western Conference standings, talk a little bit about possible matchups. Klay Thompson obviously had some disrespectful words the other day.
Disrespectful.
And then today is Thursday, so we're going to be doing our Thirsty Thursday segment and just kind of wrapping things up with a little bit more general clips talk.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Chat
some
with us.
Player-specific stuff.
All that and more coming up right about now.
So there is a straight-up log jam. In the Western Conference.
A verifiable logjam.
Legit. It's like a beaver dam on this thing. So I'm going to run down. We're going to run down 3 through 8 because 1 and 2 seem fairly decided.
Yes.
3 is borderline decided, but there's still some edge. So the Rockets are in 3rd place at 45-27. The Blazers are in 4th at 44-27. Here's where it gets interesting. 5th place, Jazz, 42-29. 6th place Spurs, 42-30. 7th place Clippers, 42-30. And the Thunder in 8th at 42-30. Just as we kind of predicted, the Thunder dropped.
Yes.
In this scenario, the Thunder have the 4th hardest remaining schedule.
Yeah, they...
Sucks for them.
Out of all these teams, they by far have the hardest schedule.
Yeah, we have the 26th. The Spurs have the 27th. Jazz have the 30th.
They have the easiest schedule left in the NBA.
Yeah, the Blazers have the 20th, and the Rockets have the 15th right in the middle.
Yeah, real bummer for the Thunder. Had a great season.
Tough game last night for them. They lost in overtime to the Raptors.
Yeah, and they have just a brutal stretch of games.
Side note, there was a horrible thing that happened in the Oklahoma City game where a woman, based on all the evidence I've seen, straight up yelled the N-word at Pascal Siakam after he missed a free throw.
Oh.
Just the N-word.
That is truly horrible.
Horrible racist garbage.
What is happening with these fans?
What switch? I mean, my thing is, like, it's been happening for a very long time.
That is true. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But this year, it seems so... I don't know if people care more...
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely reaching ahead. I mean, I actually think that the Russell Westbrook thing, while like I don't necessarily condone what he said, Westbrook, obviously the fan.
The fan can go to hell.
I condemn
100%.
But I think that like in that way, it was kind of good because it's just something that needs to be addressed. And the thing with Patrick Beverley too.
Sure. And then the Blake Griffin issue in Minnesota, someone called him boy. It's just these fans. There's just no. I don't even know how you regulate it.
Yeah, and like talking trash is like one thing, and it's very much a part of sports.
Oh yeah,
hate speech has no place.
No place.
No place.
Honestly, so Clipper Darryl does something that I don't agree with everything Clipper Darryl does, but he has one of the funniest trash talk things where he just goes, "Look at me!" when someone's shooting a free throw, you can do like it's the
fair
hate
game is yeah
the
sorry.
Hate taking over people. Because that's what it is. It's not heat of the moment. That's BS. You're a hateful person.
Yeah.
If you're screaming this.
Definitely.
At a professional sporting event.
Yeah.
And the fact that people feel safe enough in their arenas.
I think that's kind of wild, too, is it's because I think it's like the same thing as being online when people talk mad wild. It's like,
yes,
you just think that the other shoe isn't going to drop because obviously a multimillionaire can't walk off the court and like slap the S out of you, even though they should
Which
be
they
able
absolutely
to.
Should. You should get one a year.
Yeah.
One.
I mean, that would end up being so horrible, though, just because of like... Yeah. The NBA's growth right now, I think Adam Silver would really come down hard on somebody assaulting a fan. Even a like hateful piece of crap who like has no place being there.
It just blows my mind. The level of ignorance and hate. It's just awful. Anyway, sorry to go off on that tangent. That I saw it right before we started doing this. So it seems like the Thunder are going to hold down the eighth seed.
That would be my guess. Things seem to be kind of trending down for them, which is a bummer.
I mean, the schedule's brutal.
Very tough schedule.
Fourth hardest.
Let me just take a peek at that for reference real fast. But yeah, it's crazy that they're, like, out of all these teams, mm-hmm. they're the only one that doesn't have a schedule that's in, like, the 20s. Or I guess the Rockets have, like, the 15th yeah. hardest remaining schedule. But they're also the Rockets. So I feel like that's the same as a 20th for them.
My question was kind of, would it make more sense for the Thunder to just kind of, like, not tank because they're already in the playoffs, but like just hold
rest
down the
guys,
eighth spot.
Hold down the eighth spot. I mean, nobody, I think ultimately nobody wants the eighth spot, you know, just because it's like almost a guaranteed exit.
For sure.
But let's take a little peek at this schedule. So they play the Raptors yesterday. Tough loss there.
Tough loss.
They play the Raptors again tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, so one was at OKC, and then the other is in Toronto.
Dude, what is all right? That's insane.
And then they play the Grizzlies, which you know could be a frustrating game, but they'll most likely
definitely.
Win that. They got the Pacers, which still isn't a guaranteed win.
No.
And then they got Nuggets, Mavs, Lakers, Pistons, Timberwolves, Rockets, Bucks. So there's only like true hard Western Conference games. Let's see, they still have like two.
Yeah, it's a lot. The Wolves will be easy because they just shut down a bunch of guys, including Derrick Rose. But so, also, first of all, Godspeed to whoever has to play eighth seed chip on his shoulder, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
In the first round. Do we think, I kind of think the Jazz are going to maybe overtake the Blazers to be the fourth seed. That doesn't really matter because they play each other.
Yeah, I think, at that point, it doesn't really matter.
But so, do you think we can get over the Spurs? We're deadlocked. We have the same record. They have the 27th hardest remaining schedule. We have the 26th.
The way they've been playing lately is just, it makes me think that they'll probably end up on top and we're still probably looking at seven.
Yeah.
But, you know, things could definitely change.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know.
I mean, we've also been playing really well lately. I don't mean to, like, demean our team.
It's for sure. But the Spurs are just hot right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're probably going to stay in the seventh, which puts us right now, what, playing the Nuggets?
Yeah. Well, they're only they're half a game behind the Warriors.
So that's the issue with one and two for us and the Thunder. It's like, I hope we try. I mean, obviously our guys are going to try and win every single game. I hope we can get that sixth spot.
I think that'd be,
because
yeah.
we don't know. The Warriors could be the two seed.
Yeah. That'd definitely be ideal. I mean, you've been saying the whole time you like the matchup against the Rockets.
I do like that matchup. Clint Capella is very good, but we have Zoo and Trez now.
Yeah,
they still only run like a 12 guy rotation. They definitely, you know,
I mean, our bench would just dominate
our
theirs.
Bench.
Anytime
theoretically should kill them.
Anytime their starters aren't all on the court, like they're losing.
Yeah,
point differential.
We need to win, and it'd still be really hard. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Like that.
I guess the other thing is, and I don't want to jinx the Rockets or anything, but, you know, health is always going to be a concern for
yes.
them.
Although it would be sweet to see a Rockets-Spurs first round battle for Texas.
That would be wild. I mean, like, if there's any team that could get the six, I would bet that that's like the last team the Rockets want to see.
100%. We can talk about Clay's comments.
Oh, yeah. Clay said,
he would prefer to play the Clippers.
Disrespectful.
Fine, bro.
Disrespectful. Like,
what do you... Great.
I mean, we snapped off a win on him this year.
Yeah, Avery Bradley dunked all over you, dude. Avery Bradley did that.
This is honestly the first time I've found Clay unlikable. I've always thought of him as maybe the most likable player in the NBA.
I take the other side of it.
Oh, you don't like him.
I think Clay is petty. He talked about how, like, this is a man's game. I guess people got their feelings hurt. And then didn't shake hands after they lost the finals.
Yeah.
Like... He just seems like a bit of a, a bit of a douchebag.
All right, that's fair. I mean,
I would say a chaotic, neutral douchebag. He's not like
rich
actively,
kid, you know,
very rich kid.
He has rich kid vibes.
He does have rich kid vibes. Goatee as well, which strike one if you're me. But so
dude chiefs though, which is
dude does chief, which I do respect. He openly chiefs. Also, one time he left a Warriors game early to go watch Washington State lose a football game, which I think is very funny. But that matchup against the Warriors, they'll see our new team before we play the Jazz. I think they're our second to last game.
Yes, they are.
So that's kind of nice. They don't get to see us too, quick before the playoffs if we do end up playing them. I think we maybe take one game off the Warriors.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
They're really good.
That'd be tough. I think at home we could break one off.
Yeah. But then after that, I think they'd be close.
I mean, once again, though, it's just like, so it's the playoffs is the thing. So, like, your starters will most likely be playing upwards of 40 minutes, which I think works against us, obviously. But if they're trying to rest guys in the first round, I mean, their bench is going to get dominated by ours.
That's how I feel about, too, if they have to run into the Thunder.
Yeah.
Because the Thunder will just run you out. For us, I think Doc won't stick to the traditional minutes-wise for the playoffs because we have Lou and Trez. You know, it wouldn't make sense to play.
No. It'll be really balanced. It'll be like 20. I honestly think you could split it in half, like 24 minutes, 24 minutes for like the starting unit and second unit.
That'd be great for us.
It'd be, obviously, like in intervals, but.
Yeah.
or just starters play first half, then play second.
I'm not mad at that. That's a bit of our playoff outlook picture.
Yeah.
Some touch on a horrible racist fan in Oklahoma. I hope she's banned from every sporting event in the history of the world.
Yikes.
Coming up after this, we're going to be talking Thirsty Thursdays, what we want to see more of. But first, guys, if you have a smart speaker, you need to tell that smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Clippers. Also, you need to check out Locked On Podcasts, all of the podcasts on the app Himalaya. It's a pretty tight podcast app. You can kind of curate playlists, say who are we playing on Friday?
I don't know.
All right. So, say you want to listen to the Locked On Clippers perspective.
Oh, we play the Cavs on Friday.
For the game on Friday. And then you want to hear the Cavs perspective. You can make a playlist. Just knock those two things back to back.
That's true.
And the Cavs do have a very good Locked On podcast. And you check that out. Again, that is the Himalaya app. And tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Clippers.
And one more thing about smart speakers.
Go into it.
Don't worry about them listening to you. The thing is Amazon is your friend. Okay. Advertisers are your friend.
Yeah.
And they always have your best interest at heart. So don't feel afraid to call it Locked On Clippers. Don't feel afraid if it's listening because it's your friend.
Because it's your good buddy. So welcome to Thirsty Thursdays. I'll tell you what I'm really thirsty for.
What do you got?
The final game of the season against the Jazz.
Man. So is there any way, is there any way that this could determine if we surpass the Jazz? I just don't know if we can get that high.
I don't think so, because I think the Jazz have such an easy schedule and are a very good team.
Yeah. Do you think it could be the difference, winning or losing this Jazz game, between us taking the sixth or the seventh seed?
Yes, I do. And I think the Warriors game before it is just as important, if not more important.
I think it depends on seeding.
Okay. You think they might? The Warriors might just chill.
I don't know. I mean, if you're...
What's the point?
Yeah, if your spot is already locked down as, like, your home court advantage spot. To be honest, they could fall the second because the likelihood of them facing Denver is so low.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you don't want to give up home court advantage. I feel like that's the only reason.
Yeah, and the Oracle's crazy home court advantage.
Yeah, to play hard.
For sure.
At the end of the season if it's, real close.
But you think them facing the Nuggets later in the playoffs is low just because you don't believe in the Nuggets?
Yeah.
That's fair. It's going to be a really tense game for sure. I would love to win on the last game. It's the best way to go out. Ralph's last game of the regular season, thankfully.
Yeah. Man, that just hit me the other day.
I know, it sucks, dude. When Beverly hit that, when he faked out Bogdanović, then hit that floater, Ralph just goes, oh, it was just it's a pure moment of emotion of just like, oh my God,
yeah,
this is great. Speaking about, I just want to touch on this comment. So you were talking about like the Warriors maybe resting players
because
they had their spot locked up. Kyrie Irving the other day was like, yeah, I'm taking games off until we get to the playoffs. I'm like, dude, you're a fourth seed or whatever right now.
Five, I believe.
Like, maybe try and get into a good rhythm before you play.
Yeah. No, I see that. I guess I just see both sides of it, though, because he is kind of injury prone.
Yeah, that's true. What else? What are you thirsty for?
I'm thirsty for... I talked about it a little bit the other day, and I haven't ran the numbers on it. I'll do that later today and follow up with you guys. I want to see more Gallo post-ups.
Oh, yeah. You have been harping on
I
that.
Hope that we
You've
can...
been nagging us about
I
that.
Hope that, like, I hope that they've been secretly doing a bunch of meatball lineup stuff. Very secret.
Very
That's
secret.
Why the press isn't allowed on the court before games.
They've been practicing at an outdoor court in the South Bay.
And then they're going to bust it out in the playoffs.
They're going to bust it open in the playoffs.
And people are going to be like, oh, my God, what's happening?
And they're
going
to be like, what should we call us? And we'll be like, meatball lineup.
yeah.
That'd be nice. That would add a whole new wrinkle.
It's going to be spicy. Okay.
That would add a whole new wrinkle to the offense, which would be great.
Yeah. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't either. I don't know how much. I don't know if Doc's like, all right, guys, we've never done this. Boom.
No, they have done it.
Okay. They've done it. I think.
No, they're practicing in secret in this scenario.
I think the meatball lineup has legit run like 38 minutes all year. And it worked well.
It hasn't been that long.
And it worked well.
Yeah.
In very limited spurts. I'm thirsty for playoff Gallo.
Yeah, definitely.
Kick flipping off of playoff Gallo. I'm thirsty for playoff Shea. We get to see our young, fantastic rookie point
really
guard.
Really, all these guys.
All of these young guys, I just want to see what they can bring to the table. They got fresh legs.
Never been in a playoff series before.
Never been in a playoff series before.
Which is wild.
Yep.
Can you imagine that at 20 years old?
No. I can because I did play on a playoff NBA team when I was 20 years old. I didn't do that.
I think that they're poised to surprise some people. You know,
I was saying that. I think Zubats, if he has a good first round, could be like, oh, okay. And then Shea, we could finally start getting some respect in the media.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be great for all these guys, like the longevity of their careers, finally getting such a huge national spotlight.
And we got vets
as
a
rookie.
Yeah, we got some vets who've been to the playoffs before. They kind of know how to plan and the rhythm and everything like that because the travel's so different with the series and whatnot. It's going to be great. I hope we draw the Warriors for those guys' experience.
You want to play the Warriors?
In terms of experience, in terms of guys experiencing what playoff basketball is really all about, I would like them to draw the Warriors. Not in terms of our best chance of winning.
That's interesting.
It doesn't get higher than playing the team that's the favorite.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Just having that, seeing that immediately in the first round to see what it's like when a team like the Warriors ratchets it up to we should win the championship level will blow their minds, as it should. I'm not saying that in like a bad way. Just that level of preparation that Doc's going to put them through for an opponent like that, I think it's so big for their development.
That's true. I guess my only counterpoint would be I'd like to see him play more games.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I can't.
I'd like to see him get to play, obviously, the max amount of playoff games they can possibly get.
Yeah. Well, we're going to win 16. We're going to have 16 wins, so I think it's going to be fine. or 12, whatever the hell it is. I'm thirsty for just Ty Wallace to be back.
Yeah, at this point, man, I don't know.
Is he going to get any run in the playoffs?
I think if he or Sin does, it'll be in super limited.
Oh, they're getting that 30-second.
Yeah, which is good in a sense that they already have at least a certain skill that's so demonstrable and like sticks out so much.
For
that
sure.
It's like a very specialized tool that you have in the toolbox.
That's how I feel more about Sindarius. I think we're going to see more Sindarius in the like, all right, there's an inbounds play. We're only up four with 48 seconds left in the half. Let's get Sindarius in there to cause some trouble. Ty Wallace, if we need some offense, we kind of talked about how maybe they're just getting Wilson Chandler back into game shape.
Yeah.
But Ty Wallace does tend to kind of fall out of Doc's rotations.
He does. Even like when he played a really good stretch kind of earlier in the season there. Yeah, I don't really know what's going on with that. He does have off games. He has been inconsistent.
But scores, it's one of those things where it's like you just got to trust that they're going to get it together.
Yeah.
But I hope we maybe see him in the playoffs.
I just think I think that it throws a wrinkle in the playoffs because teams are going to trap Lou Will.
Yeah.
And if you have another, like Ty can handle the ball pretty well.
For sure.
So I think that adds like a little bit, it just adds another kind of dangerous aspect to the offense.
Definitely. And he's a good defender.
Yeah.
So it's just those things where maybe we will see him in the playoffs if they are trapping Lou Will and they can nullify him.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of how you beat us in the playoffs, I assume. If Jermichael Green isn't hitting shots.
Oh, yeah.
If Temple and Chandler aren't and Tresham hasn't off, you just shut Lou Will down. It's going to be a long night for us.
Definitely.
Do you think maybe we'll see Shamet out there with Lou more in the playoffs? Just to add, like, who the hell do we guard?
Yeah, I think it depends on who's got the hot hand.
For sure.
If Green is able to knock down those shots, you know, if Garrett Temple is in form, then maybe less. But I don't know.
What about this lineup? You go Beverly, Lou, Sham, Green, Trez.
I like it. I don't love it.
Okay.
I just would like a little bit more length, mm-hmm. I guess, than that. And to be perfectly honest, I think that, like, the only bad thing Lou Will can do, other than, you know, he can be a liability on defense, but whatever. The only bad thing Lou Will can do is turnovers.
Yes.
And I think
they kind of come in spurts.
They kind of come in spurts. And I think that, to me, that's why you don't put Shamet out there.
Okay.
Because I don't think that they have that chemistry
yet
locked down quite as
for
well
sure.
as he and Trez do. So that would be my only argument against it, that and the length.
So we go Bev, Lou, Shea, Jamichael. It's like a rotating. That's not the definitive 1-2-3 spot. That's just kind of like a rotating guard situation.
Yeah.
Jamichael, then Trez.
I mean, that's a lot of minutes on Shea and Bev at that point. But I think that
the playoffs, baby.
I think that lineup works in spurts for sure.
We'll see what happens. Coming up after this, just some more general Clips talk. Maybe we're going to talk Lou Williams as sixth man of the year. So he has it locked up, right?
Yeah.
He has to win this.
Oh, yeah.
If he doesn't win, we riot.
Definitely.
There's a great article in The Athletic about it.
And I would say this year, I mean, just in general, I think that this is becoming a more interesting award than people had ever kind of thought about it before.
I think
just because
casual basketball fans, it's more like, oh, damn, six men are way more important than they were back in the
absolutely.
day.
Absolutely. I think the talent pool has just gotten so deep at this point mm-hmm. that, like, these guys are, I mean, Lou Will, obviously top of the list, but these guys are guys who could be in the Hall of Fame, who should be in the Hall of Fame in, like, the Jamal Crawford and Lou Will kind of case.
Lou Will and Jamal Crawford will for sure be in the Hall of Fame.
If they don't, I mean,
it's crazy.
If they don't, then I don't care, like, about the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that is garbage. I also like that Lou kind of threw down the gauntlet with Derrick Rose earlier in the year.
Yeah.
When he was like, you don't want any part of this.
He doesn't.
Derrick Rose got shut down.
Yeah.
And I think that shot over the Nets, I think that was the nail in the coffin.
If that didn't seal it for you, I don't know.
I don't know what the hell else you want him to do.
Yeah.
He's on pace to be the first player to average 20 points less than 27 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Not bench player.
Which is wild because he's sometimes not the most efficient shooter.
No, not at all. Sometimes he's throwing up like 4 for 15.
Yeah,
or
but
stuff
he's still
like that.
Still getting to the line.
Still getting
so
to
I
the
line.
So I
guess that is true. That is efficiency in a different way.
Absolutely.
That doesn't show up necessarily in, like, effective field goal percentage. What is his... never mind. He's not as inefficient as I thought. His field goal percentage is around 43, which is, you know, mediocre. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not poor by any means.
You know, he's a walking bucket, and he's won us games before. Are we kind of worried about... I think you, me, and our friend Pat discussed this. Are we worried about any of our assistant coaches being poached in the offseason?
I would say no, just because Ballmer is not afraid of payroll, whatever.
Hell yeah.
If he thinks that it's working, that is.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. And I think this year's
kind of
showed
it does. I don't think
it's
necessarily going to come down to his decision. It'll be Doc's decision. But if it's like, I need this guy.
Yeah.
Ballmer's like, yeah, here's some money. Why don't you pick it up?
He's throwing cash. He's throwing a fistful of cash.
Why don't you pick it up? No, yeah. Bomber's not a terrible human being like that.
I think maybe Rex maybe gets a look from somebody.
Yeah, I mean, he's stayed in Toronto for a pretty long time.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be too worried really about him bolting. I haven't been super impressed with our defense this year. There have been players, and I do think that Rex has been an influence on that.
Agreed.
Most notably Gallo. So I do think that he is still a positive influence, but for me, jury's still out on, like, the team defense aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's because the individual pieces are still figuring it out.
Yeah. Bunch of new guys at the deadline.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing.
But it hasn't been great all season long.
Agreed. Yes. Sam Cassell is a guy I think could get a look, but I don't think he leaves.
I don't think he leaves either. He's just such a huge part of Shea's development. And if you're him, and it seems like, you know, he's taken him under his wing, he's really interested in the development of this young player, I don't know why you'd walk away from that.
And I also, I can't remember if I said this on the podcast when we were just watching the game the other night. I think Sam Cassell sees himself in Shea.
Yeah, we did talk about this a little.
Yeah, I think he sees what, Sam Cassell sees what his game could have maybe translated to in the modern game.
Definitely.
And he wants to kind of help grow that and help Shea flourish.
For sure.
Not like an unfinished business thing, but like a I see myself in you type thing.
Yeah.
Not a spiteful thing.
Yeah.
I hope nobody leaves. I hope nobody leaves.
No.
Everyone on the squad seems to really like all of the personnel, which is huge, especially for young guys.
Definitely.
I think in the NFL, it gets talked about a lot with rookies dealing with a bunch of coordinators and stuff like that. Doesn't get talked about as much in the NBA.
Oh, interesting.
In terms of rotating staff and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, and I got to be honest, too. For any team that's not the Clippers, I don't really know coaching staff beyond head coach for the most part.
I know, you know, like Becky Hammon. I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But like some more notable people, yeah, for sure. But other than that, I'm not super plugged into that.
Yeah. Man, whenever Doc decides it's time's up with the Clippers, I want Becky Hammon to coach.
Yeah.
She's a great coach. Be awesome. Anything else you want to talk about? Kind of a light day.
Definitely a light day news-wise.
We tackled racism in the beginning of the pod. That was
great. Do you want to talk a little bit about the Celtics-Sixers beef and the flagrant last night?
Oh, yeah. So Marcus Smart got a screen set on him by Embiid that had a bit of an extra elbow on the side. Side of elbow, if you will. It seemed like Embiid said something to him when he was on the ground.
Definitely.
He took offense to.
And then after the play.
During the play, rather. Marcus Smart two-hand shoved him to the ground.
Gave him a hearty push. I think there was a little bit of a flop on Embiid's part.
Absolutely.
Because he goes flying across the court.
Yeah. Marcus Smart, first of all, strong as hell. Not as strong as Gallo, but a strong player.
Yeah.
Obviously not as strong as Gallo. No, but those two teams, I think they're going to meet in the first round of the playoffs. Or at some point. Is that how it works out? I don't know anything about the Eastern Conference.
No, I don't think they will. I think it's going to be locked up. 4-5 is going to be Pacers, Celtics.
Got it. But you were kind of saying that, did you think it should have been a flagrant?
Because
it was a flagrant 2, wasn't it?
He was immediately ejected.
Let him play.
Man, it's tough for me to say, because here's the thing. And we talk about this all the time, how different players are kind of reffed differently.
Absolutely. Like Dre, which I think they should be.
Yeah, Dre doesn't get texts when he's like jawing at the ref.
Yelling
sometimes. And Marcus Smart is like, he's a hothead player.
Passionate player, I would say.
Passionate player, for sure. You know, and he is like a hard-edged guy who like doesn't want to be disrespected on the court.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that the screen was 100% dirty. But the elbow was.
The elbow was, and
he definitely says something to Marcus Smart on the ground.
Embiid is a low-key heel.
Yeah.
He's a heel. He has great branding. He's very personable. He's very funny. He's a heel. I don't mean that in a bad way. He's great at it.
Yeah.
He said after the game, he said he's the most unstoppable player in the game. He's the best one playing it. This is what the NBA needs. But I think if the roles are reversed, if Embiid does the shove, I don't think he gets tossed from the game.
Yeah.
I think he gets a flagrant 1.
Yeah. I don't know. And then Embiid does, after flopping, get up and like go after him.
That's the hold me back. That's not.
I mean, no, it's not for real, but it's still like, I think that it should have been 2 flagrant 1s and they should have
like
just
that.
Kept playing.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and then if any more nonsense happened. Any more riffraff. Also, Terry Rozier was on, I can't remember which program it was, but they did like a word association, and he said like the first thing that comes to mind, Joel Embiid, and he just said lame, which I thought was funny. And then Terry Rozier was kind of, I thought this was like a bigger move about it. He later kind of like clarified in a different interview or over social media, I can't remember. But he was like, you know, like we just say this stuff. Like I think that it makes...
They understand it's entertainment.
Yeah.
There's a level of entertainment.
Yeah. He's like, I think it makes it more fun to watch and it makes it more fun to play.
One of my theories that I'm starting to write a book about.
Okay.
Not at all. I love that this generation of players grew up watching the Attitude Era of the WWF.
Oh, yeah.
And so that is making basketball rad as hell in terms of characters. So you get these guys who watch like Stone Cold and D-Generation X be heels that are fun to watch and who kick ass.
Yeah.
So like it's fan. I like that that's happening a bunch.
Yeah. Definitely.
And they seem to have done a good job of being able to like mitigate it in terms of actually hating each other and all stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of interesting, especially this one, because there's not a whole lot of rivalries that boil over as hot as, like, Sixers-Celtics.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that that's something...
Two trash cities, two passionate fan bases.
I think that's something that other people have kind of complained about, that there's not the characters like the Jordan, like the maniacal must-win, like... kind of insanity.
Serial killer level of intensity.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't want every match to be like that. I don't want it to be like...
But some of it's good.
I don't want it to be too dramatic, but I think in spurts and certain times, it's, you know, it adds an element of entertainment that maybe wouldn't otherwise be there.
Yeah, because I think like the in-between generation of like the Chris Paul and the LeBron generation of players was more buddy-buddy type stuff.
Oh, I
agree.
And
now this new generation is like, yeah, but you can still like... We can still jaw at each other.
Yeah. And there's so much more of, like, people teaming up and stuff.
And there's social media a lot more.
Yeah, and I think that that makes it, I think that that lends itself generally to being more buddy-buddy just because you have so many interactions with these people.
And a lot of these guys played basketball, like, AAU since they're, like, 12.
Yeah.
Guys, that about wraps it up for us. Tomorrow we're going to have a preview of the game against the Cavs, the start of our four-game road trip.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be ranking the Pacific Division. We're going to be playing Love, Marry, Kill. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler. Thank you for listening. Please rate, subscribe us on whatever platform you choose to listen to your podcast on.
Yeah, and check out the Himalaya app. It's pretty cool for podcasts.
Yeah, again, thank you so much for listening, guys. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike.